As you are listening to this deep dive, like right this very second, there are thousands of autonomous AI bots actively scanning gaming accounts and crypto
Oh,
wallets.
yeah, nonstop.
And they are just looking for a way in. And I really need you to understand that the days of those, obvious phishing emails with the terrible grammar.
Right, the ones we used to laugh at.
Exactly. Those are completely dead. Today's attackers, they can clone your voice with just 10 seconds of audio. They can forge your face. I mean, they can find vulnerabilities in the platforms you use at absolute machine speed.
Yeah, the fundamental architecture of the internet hasn't really changed, but the adversaries absolutely have. We've transitioned from this landscape of human-led targeted attacks to an environment of automated AI-driven mass exploitation.
It's a totally different ballgame.
It is. I mean, the entire threat model has basically been rewritten in just the last 18 months.
Which brings us to our source material today. We are looking at a document called Project Gamma, the 2026 Dark Web Survival Guide. And our mission for this deep dive is to help you, the listener, understand these terrifying new AI threats.
And, give you some actual tools to fight back.
Yes, exactly. We want to give you a concrete, actionable roadmap. The goal here is to remove you from the 85% of internet users who are currently just sitting ducks. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Because to fix the problem, we really need to understand how we got here, right? Like, how did the landscape shift so radically almost overnight?
Well, it really comes down to the sudden collapse of operational friction. So the cost of launching a sophisticated cyber attack has dropped to effectively zero.
Which is wild to think about.
Right, because think back just, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. Executing a high-level breach, it required a coordinated team. You needed, like, highly skilled hackers, months of reconnaissance, custom malware.
Not to mention the financial resources just to keep the operation running.
Exactly. But today, a task that used to take those teams months can literally be accomplished in seconds with a simple prompt to a large language model like ChatGPT or Claude. The barrier to entry isn't just low now, it has completely vanished.
I want to promise you right now, as you're listening to this, that by the end of this deep dive, you are not going to feel overwhelmed. We are going to empower you to build an impenetrable digital fortress around your
You
assets.
definitely have options.
You do, but we do have to survey the battlefield first. Because when the cost of attacking drops to zero, like you said, it completely rewrites the entire business model of cybercrime.
It does. And the 2026 statistics, they illustrate that shift perfectly. So in just the first 4 months of this year alone, the crypto industry lost over $600 million to hacks.
Wow, in 4 months.
4 months. And that includes these massive structural breaches, like the Kelp DAO attack, which accounted for $293 million by itself. And then there was the Drift protocol hack at $280 million. If you really want to understand the actual mechanics of this new business model, you have to look at the data from ScamSniffer.
Okay, what did they find?
So in January 2026, the actual number of phishing victims decreased by 11% compared to the previous month.
Oh, well, that sounds like good news.
You'd think so, right? But the financial losses from those victims increased by 207%.
So what does this all mean? It's like burglars have stopped breaking into thousands of random apartments looking for loose change because AI just handed them a master key that works instantly on
That
mansions.
is a perfect analogy.
They are whale hunting.
You absolutely are. They're using AI to qualify their leads now. Before, scammers had to cast a wide net and just, hope someone clicked a bad link. Now, AI agents actually pre-screen targets. They look at public blockchain data, elite credit scores, social media scraping. They filter out the low-value targets entirely and focus this overwhelming, highly personalized force on the accounts holding significant assets.
But wait, if they're exclusively whale hunting, why should our listener care if they just have like a modest Steam library or a small crypto wallet? If the hackers are busy unlocking mansions, why would they bother with a digital apartment at all?
Because the AI doesn't sleep, and it doesn't experience fatigue. Modern attackers are deploying these automated bot swarms that evaluate millions of accounts per second.
Millions.
Yeah, per second. They are constantly looking for vulnerability patterns. So things like reused passwords, missing two-factor authentication, or just a history of poor digital hygiene.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Right, because to a machine operating at that kind of scale, a Steam account with a $5,000 game library, or a Discord server with 15,000 members, or a crypto wallet with 10 grand in it, that is still highly lucrative low-hanging fruit.
Because it costs them nothing to grab it.
Exactly. It costs them $0 and zero human hours to launch the attack against you. So from the algorithm's perspective, there's literally no reason to ignore you.
Man, the terrifying part isn't even a guy in a hoodie typing furiously at a keyboard to hack your specific account. It's just a mindless script running in the background of some server farm.
Yeah, it's totally automated.
Which brings us to the actual mechanics here. How exactly are these attackers getting into these accounts if they aren't just guessing passwords anymore? According to the guide, they are leveraging four specific AI vectors. So let's look at the first one, AI-generated phishing, and a tactic called address poisoning.
This one is brutal.
The guide mentions someone losing over $12 million in January 2026 to this. $12 million.
Yeah, the era of spotting a scam because of bad spelling is completely over. Models like GPT-5 and Claude Opus, they craft these linguistically flawless, hyper-personalized messages by basically ingesting your entire public digital footprint.
So they know exactly how to sound like someone you trust.
Exactly. But the address poisoning tactic is much more insidious because it actually attacks human visual processing.
How does that work?
So the attacker uses AI to monitor your crypto wallet's public transaction history. When they see a wallet address you frequently send money to, they use massive computing power to generate a fake vanity address that visually mimics your friend's address.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the first five characters and the last four characters of the address will match your friend's address perfectly.
See, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Even if the address looks similar, why would I copy an address from my transaction history? Don't people just use an address book feature or, like, save contacts on their phone?
In traditional banking, sure.
Hmm.
But the user experience in the crypto space is still highly reliant on block explorers.
Right, like Etherscan.
Exactly. Many users, even really seasoned ones, they habitually go to platforms like Etherscan, find their last successful transaction to a specific friend or exchange, and just copy the address directly from the ledger to ensure they don't make a mistake.
Because typing it out manually is just asking for a typo.
Right. And the attacker anticipates this behavior.
Yeah.
So they send a tiny fractional transaction to your wallet from their fake, visually identical address.
Oh my God. So it's sitting there in your history.
Yes. The AI orchestrated trap is set. The next time you go to your history to copy your trusted contact's address, you inadvertently copy the poisoned address that the attacker slipped in there. You paste it, hit send, and the funds are just gone forever.
It weaponizes our own habit of double checking our history against us. That is wild. But if they can trick us visually with addresses, what happens when they hijack our actual voices? Because vector number two sounds like something out of a dystopian thriller, real-time voice deepfakes.
The underlying technology here has evolved so rapidly. AI models now only require 10 to 30 seconds of your audio to clone your voice with over 95% accuracy.
It's just 10 seconds.
Just 10 seconds. It doesn't just copy the pitch either. It perfectly mimics your cadence, your breathing patterns, even your micro-hesitations.
That is terrifying.
It is. The FBI actually reported $450 million in voice deepfake fraud in 2025 alone. Attackers typically use this to call your family, simulate your voice in a state of absolute panic, and demand immediate financial help for some emergency.
The classic grandkid scam, but leveled up to a million.
Precisely. And the scale of this threat multiplied drastically in April 2026 with the massive Discord data breach. Hackers managed to steal the voice database of roughly 40 million Discord users.
Wait, hold on. These weren't users recording themselves for, like, public podcasts. What kind of voice database was Discord even keeping?
So they were holding these 5 to 30 second audio clips that Discord captured and stored to train their internal audio quality and noise cancellation routing.
Oh, so it was just back-end diagnostic data.
Right. But hackers exfiltrated that raw audio anyway, and they are now feeding it directly into deepfake generation models.
Here's where it gets really interesting and honestly a bit terrifying. If they only need 10 to 30 seconds of audio, doesn't that mean literally anyone who has ever spoken on a public Discord server or just played a multiplayer game with an open mic is already compromised? Your voice is just out there waiting to be weaponized against your family.
This raises an important question about how we fundamentally secure human communication moving forward.
Yeah.
If you use voice chat, you really must now operate under the assumption that your voice can be flawlessly simulated.
Yeah, you can't trust your own ears anymore.
Exactly. And this massive vulnerability is the exact reason Discord was forced to mandate two-factor authentication for all users and hastily roll out that emergency voice verification feature. The inherent trust we place in the sound of a loved one's voice on the telephone has been structurally compromised.
So the AI can mimic our text, and it can perfectly mimic our voices. What happens when the bots stop needing human interaction entirely and just start attacking the infrastructure itself? Because that brings us to the third vector, autonomous exploit bots.
Right, so the industry term for this is agentic AI.
Agentic AI, okay.
Yeah, these are systems designed to act as independent agents capable of multi-step reasoning. In the context of cybercrime, they autonomously scan complex smart contracts, you know, the underlying code that powers decentralized finance, just looking for logic flaws.
And when they find one?
When they discover a vulnerability, they don't just alert a human hacker. They literally write the exploit code themselves and execute the attack at machine speed.
Wow.
Yeah, Charles Guimet, the CTO of Ledger, issued a stark warning about this back in April 2026. He noted that developers are increasingly using AI co-pilots to write their code, which creates this incredibly dangerous feedback loop where the industry risks producing software that is, quote unquote, insecure by design.
I want to make sure I understand the difference here, because haven't hackers always used automated scanners to look for bugs in code? What makes an agentic AI different from just a traditional scanning tool?
That's a great question. Traditional scanners look for known syntax errors or basic structural mistakes, like a typo in the code. But agentic AI, powered by large language models, actually understands the semantic intent of the code. It can read a smart contract, understand the business logic of how a flash loan is supposed to work, and creatively figure out how to manipulate the price oracle to drain the funds.
So it's actually thinking about loopholes, not just typos.
Exactly. It finds conceptual loopholes that traditional scanners are completely blind to, and it spots them in seconds where human auditors might take months.
Man, so we have AI writing the code and another AI autonomously attacking the logic of that code. And the fourth vector really bridges this machine speed warfare back into the human world, KYC bypass and social engineering.
Yeah, so Know Your Customer, or KYC, is the foundational identity verification process used by banks and crypto exchanges. You upload your passport, you take a live selfie, you know the drill.
Right, everybody hates doing it, but it's supposed to keep us safe.
It's supposed to, yeah. But a prominent threat actor, known as Jinkusu, is currently selling AI toolkits specifically engineered to bypass these checks. They use forged documents, real-time facial mapping, and deepfake video injection to literally trick the exchange's cameras.
That's insane.
But the threat goes far beyond just quick identity spoofing. North Korea-linked hackers recently deployed AI to run a sustained, long-duration social engineering campaign against a crypto platform, Kenzerian.
When you say long duration, how long are we talking?
Weeks. The attackers maintained fake employee personas for weeks. They used AI to generate these highly convincing, contextually accurate communications, gradually building human trust with actual Xerion employees over Slack and email.
They just blended right in.
Yep. Once they were fully integrated and trusted, they manipulated the staff into granting access and stole $100,000 from Xerion's hot wallets.
So we have AI operating at machine speed, perfectly cloning voices, bypassing video identity checks, and patiently building relationships over rooks. All of our traditional digital defenses, like getting an SMS text message with a 6-digit code or clicking a verification link in an email, they are completely obsolete.
Complete.
The digital locks are broken. Mm-hmm. And if they can simulate everything in the digital realm, it seems like the only way to stop a digital ghost is with a physical wall.
That brings us to the ultimate shield outlined in the survival guide, which is hardware security keys. If you are still relying on SMS texts for two-factor authentication, you are highly vulnerable to SIM swapping.
Which is when they steal your phone number, right?
Exactly. That's where attackers bribe or trick a telecom employee into porting your phone number to the attacker's device. Suddenly, they get all your text codes.
And even authenticator apps aren't foolproof, are they?
No. Even if you use an app like Google Authenticator, a sophisticated malware infection on your phone can still intercept those codes. Hardware security keys physically bypass this entire digital ecosystem.
Basically, using SMS two-factor authentication right now is like locking a screen door. A hardware key is replacing that with a solid iron vault door that you have to physically touch to open. But let me ask you this. How does a piece of hardware actually stop a flawless AI phishing page? Like, let's say an AI creates a pixel-perfect replica of the Steam login page. I type in my password. Why does the hardware key stop them from getting in?
It's because of how the cryptography functions. Think of it like splitting a mathematical treasure map in half. The website's server holds one half of the equation, and the physical microchip inside your hardware key holds the other.
Okay, I'm with you.
So when you attempt to log in, the server sends a complex mathematical puzzle to your browser. Your browser passes that puzzle to your physical key. The key solves the puzzle internally using its secret half of the map, and only sends the answer back.
So the secret map never actually leaves the key.
Exactly. Even if you type your password into a perfect AI-generated fake website, the attacker's server doesn't have the correct puzzle to send you. And more importantly, the attacker does not physically possess the microchip sitting on your desk. The math literally cannot complete without that physical device.
And yet, the guide points out this staggering absurdity in the current landscape. Only 15% of gamers use them. People have Steam libraries worth $5,000 or $10,000, but they won't spend the $30 to $100 to protect it. Is it just a lack of awareness, or is the technology too complicated to set up?
It is overwhelmingly a lack of awareness. The setup process honestly takes less than 2 minutes, and the investment is negligible compared to the value of the assets protected.
What does the guide actually recommend people get?
After extensive testing across multiple platforms, security experts in the guide found that the YubiKey 5C NFC, which costs about $58, is the optimal choice for gamers. Yeah, it has a USDC connector for modern laptops and NFC support, meaning you can just tap it against your phone to authenticate mobile logins. It supports all the modern cryptographic protocols, so it integrates flawlessly across Steam, Discord, and Epic Games.
Just a quick caveat for the console listeners out there. The guide does note that the Nintendo Switch currently offers absolutely no support for hardware keys, and Xbox and PlayStation are extremely limited, mostly just restricting them to web account management.
Yeah, console support is lagging.
But for PC gamers, it's essential. And if we pivot from gaming libraries to crypto assets, the stakes get exponentially higher. With a gaming account, you might eventually get a human at customer support to help you recover it. With crypto, once it leaves your wallet, the blockchain is immutable. It's gone forever.
Exactly. This is where the distinction between hot wallets and cold storage becomes critical. Hot wallets are connected to the internet. So this includes browser extensions like MetaMask or your accounts on major centralized exchanges.
And those exchanges are massive targets.
Huge targets. Cosmo Jang from Pantera Capital pointed out that centralized exchanges are currently the most at-risk infrastructure. They hold massive repositories of personally identifiable information, or PII, alongside the actual funds. Financial services are the ultimate whale targets for these AI attacks.
Which means we need cold storage to isolate our funds.
Yes. A hardware wallet, or cold storage, ensures your private cryptographic keys are physically isolated from any internet-connected device. The guide recommends the LedgerFlex, retailing for around $249, as the premier cold wallet for most users.
What makes it so good against AI?
What makes it impervious to AI attacks is the secure element chip housed inside it.
Let's break that down, because I hear secure element thrown around a lot. How does that chip actually protect me if I plug the Ledger into a laptop that is already secretly infected with malware?
The secure element chip is effectively an air-gapped mini-computer. When you plug the Ledger into a compromised laptop, your private keys never leave the Ledger. They don't travel through the USB cable.
Oh, I see.
Instead, the infected laptop sends the raw transaction data into the Ledger. The Ledger's screen displays exactly what you are about to sign. If you approve it by physically pressing the buttons on the device, the secure element chip signs the transaction internally and only sends the cryptographic signature back down the cable.
So the secrets never cross the wire?
Never. The malware can watch you do it, but it cannot steal the key.
I love that. It's like a physical quarantine zone. But let's address the elephant in the room here. What happens if you drop this iron key down the storm drain? If I lose the physical key, am I locked out of my own digital life forever?
That is the single most common hesitation, and it requires a specific non-negotiable backup strategy. You never buy just one key. You always purchase two identical keys.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. When you secure your Discord, your Steam, or your crypto exchange, you register both devices simultaneously. One becomes your primary everyday carry. It stays on your keychain or plugged into your machine. The second key goes immediately into a physical fireproof safe or a bank lockbox.
So if disaster strikes,
if you lose the primary key down a storm drain, you just retrieve the backup, log in, and immediately revoke the lost key's access privileges from all your accounts.
Okay, so having a physical key secures the absolute core vault of our assets. But what about our day-to-day interactions? If AI is the ultimate weapon, how do we protect the sort of the windows of our digital house. The guide lays out this 8-step daily armor protocol.
Let's focus on the most critical components of that daily operational security. First, regarding your cold storage seed phrase, those 12 or 24 backup words that can recover your entire wallet if the device breaks. You must never store them digitally.
Ever.
No photos, no notes apps, no password managers. The 2026 industry standard is using physical, fireproof, and waterproof stainless steel plates to permanently stamp your words into metal.
Stamping metal plates, checking URLs character by character. I have to be honest, that sounds exhausting. Is this level of friction really sustainable for the average person who just wants to manage their portfolio?
The friction is the point. Convenience is exactly what AI exploits. Stamping a metal plate takes 20 minutes. But it permanently immunizes your backup against every digital threat in existence.
That's a fair trade-off.
And to add a layer of encryption to that physical metal, the guide mandates implementing a 25th word, often called a passphrase. You memorize this specific word, or you store it in a completely separate physical location from the steel plate. Without that specific 25th word, even if a burglar breaks into your house and steals the steel plate, the seed phrase is totally useless to them.
Wow, it's literally two-factor authentication for the physical world. What else is on the Daily Armor list?
Withdrawal whitelisting. Platforms like KuCoin allow you to configure your account so that funds can only be withdrawn to wallet addresses you have pre-approved.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, if an AI agent successfully compromises your account, they cannot instantly drain the funds to a new wallet. Adding a new, unknown address to the whitelist triggers a mandatory multi-day holding period and a rigorous verification process. It destroys their ability to act at machine speed. You must also ruthlessly audit your browser extensions. A single malicious extension running in the background can monitor your clipboard and swap out a wallet address right as you hit paste. And obviously, never complete crypto transactions on public Wi-Fi.
And step 6 in the guide feels incredibly relevant given the deepfake threat we discussed earlier. Never trust deepfake endorsements. If you see a live-streamed video of a crypto founder or even an executive from an exchange you use offering some urgent investment opportunity or a technical fix, you have to assume it's an AI forgery. Legitimate platforms will never, under any circumstances, ask for your seed phrase or ask you to urgently move funds.
Exactly. The human element really remains the final vulnerability. However, the ecosystem isn't completely defenseless. The cybersecurity industry is aggressively deploying defensive AI.
AI fighting AI.
What's fascinating here is the shift in regulatory and corporate strategy. Anthropic recently launched a beta program called Claude Mythos. It's an agentic AI designed specifically to hunt for flaws in major operating systems and patch them before malicious actors can exploit them.
So are we just entering an era where agentic AI battles defensive AI in the background, and we humans just sit on the sidelines hoping our hardware keys hold the line?
At the infrastructural level, yes. But you cannot afford to be a passive observer. Platform-level AI defenses only protect the exchanges or the blockchain itself.
Not you.
Right. Your personal operational security, your physical hardware key, your stamped steel plate, and your baseline skepticism of a cloned voice. That is still the only mechanism protecting your specific individual assets. Defensive AI cannot stop you from voluntarily handing over your credentials to a perfectly executed deepfake of your boss.
And that brings it all back to you, the listener. Let's summarize the key takeaways from this survival guide. The barrier to entry for cybercrime is zero, and the attacks are incredibly personalized. But attackers are fundamentally lazy. They want the low-hanging fruit.
Exactly. They want the easy targets.
So, by spending $60 on a YubiKey, utilizing cord storage for your crypto, and being highly skeptical of any urgent digital communication, you immediately remove yourself from the 85% of vulnerable users.
You make yourself too expensive to hack.
But I want to leave you with a final, slightly chilling philosophical thought to mull over. We've learned today that hackers are using AI for long-duration social engineering, and that flawlessly cloned voices of family members in emergency situations are netting hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's a scary reality.
It really is. If our digital voices and faces can be perfectly forged and we now have to treat our digital assets like they are in a physical cold storage vault, will the future of human relationships require the exact same architecture? Will you soon need to establish a physical offline passphrase with your own spouse or your children?
That's the direction we're heading.
Basically, treating your human trust the exact same way you treat a crypto wallet, just to verify you're actually talking to them on the phone. Something to think about as we navigate this new world.
Thanks for having me. This was a great deep dive.
Thank you so much for joining us. And to our listeners, stay curious and stay secure out there. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.